Welcome to the Multimedia Men podcast number 31.
Damn!
31! Why are we still here?
I don't know.
Every week you're trying to break up with us. This is a thing now. This is
going
to be a thing.
It's a thing. We're still here, guys.
It's a thing. We are here with Gadi Elkon.
Hi.
Andrew Conway.
Hi.
Adam Conway.
Huh? What?
Gwen Reyes.
I'm never leaving you.
I'm never leaving you. And myself, Brian Kluger. And this is our In the News segment, 31st edition.
Just you have to commit to it if you're going to do it.
This is our section where we talk about the cool and interesting stories in the film, music, video game, TV, and comic areas. So we're going to start with music this time. There's some interesting music news.
I only want to talk about Future Islands.
Nice.
I fucking told you.
That's not on here.
You did.
The band is orgasmic sounding.
So Wu-Tang Clan has...
Wu-Tang
has two new albums. They're going to release a new album in July called A Better Tomorrow, which coincides with the 20th anniversary of the group's debut. But they're also going to release a record called Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. And they've been recording it secretly. So if you're a Wu-Tang fan, minus, I guess, Old Dirty Bastard is not there anymore, you're going to get two Wu-Tang albums. It's going to be awesome. Pretty badass. So here's a little music movie news sort of thing. So remember when Zach Braff went on Kickstarter and raised money for the movie I Wish I Was Here? Well, his soundtrack is going to have The Shins, Bon Iver, Cat Power, and Coldplay's Chris Martin on the soundtrack.
Wow, everyone who is no longer relevant. Thanks, Zach.
He's going to make The Shins relevant again.
I don't know. I tapped a break on that.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No.
Not without Mr. Broken Bells in there.
No. It's been 10 years since Garden State.
Yeah, they shouldn't do it.
Has anybody revisited that film as an adult who's had, like, adult...
I like that movie still, yeah.
The soundtrack's still incredible.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
But
the soundtrack's incredible still, but I don't like the movie as much.
But I feel like since Garden State soundtrack was so good, I'm pretty sure he's going to do another good job with this new music.
I hope that they're all new songs.
It sounds exactly like the last album, which makes me think it won't be as good.
It'll be interesting.
Because there was Coldplay on the last album, too.
Yeah, and that's like the best Coldplay song, too. The one that's on that album.
And let's be honest, he's not so good anymore.
Who?
Chris Martin.
Yeah.
Well, whoever likes Coldplay doesn't
he has new angst because now he separated from Gwyneth Paltrow, so.
Thank God. Moving on.
Uncoupling. Yeah, a conscious uncoupling.
I don't even know what that means.
Moving on to a bit of news that I read that I was like,
Where did you read this news?
You read the news?
Wait, what? So, AMC is looking for new shows because some of their shows are ending. Breaking Bad ended. Mad Men's on its final season. Walking Dead is...
Is this the official final season?
Why are you doing TV shows?
I'm not doing it. This is music, though.
Ruining shit.
Billy Corgan.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Go ahead.
Billy Corgan from what band?
Smash Pumpkins.
And that other one.
Is trying to get a a TV show about pro wrestling made on AMC.
Oh, that is a wait what moment.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. What? What is he doing? It's like, we need like a Billy Corgan separate news section because he's just so fucking weak.
What's it? It's not even
like. We should have like every week something new in Billy Corgan.
Because that's the same guy who's doing all like the coffee shop.
He's trying
too.
To sell a TV show?
Yeah. About pro wrestling.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
But like,
but
it's
not like,
WWE,
though. It's like some weird...
Yeah. It'd probably have his music in it, too.
Like Luchador?
But I just thought that was weird, because Billy Corgan's weird guy. Moving on. Billboard, as in like the Billboard list, top music list.
What?
They have announced a new chart list, and it's going to be based on Twitter. Working with Twitter, the Billboard Twitter real-time charts will track artists based on Twitter traffic. How weird is that? That means it's going to be terrible fucking music.
Well, it will be, but if you think about the fact that, like, what's on the number on the top 100 or the, you know, the top 200 or whatever, it's already terrible fucking music as it is.
Whoa.
And so it doesn't make any sense that it wouldn't go with going with Twitter using it to be their source of calling that information.
So we're going to see, like, the top albums, but then we're going to see, like, the top Twitter albums, like, according to fucking 12-year-old girls?
Maybe.
Well, if you would tweet more, then...
12-year-old girls spend more on music than you do.
Yeah. Not true.
Well, you do buy a lot of vinyl.
Old stuff.
But you
I've
only...
recently... Guys, true story. I've recently started buying music again, and it is
But
weird.
You don't like music.
No, I do like music.
But do you actually buy new albums, Brian? What's the last new album you bought that wasn't old?
Probably the Jack White Blunderbuss.
Okay.
Or actually the John C. Reilly and
how about a new band that you just heard of?
Probably
what's the last one?
Shit. what's his name? Charles Bradley and then the Barrington or shit. What was?
But
his
I
name?
Think. It, but also like young people are.
Barrington Bears.
The people on Twitter are like 12-year-old girls. I think that's going to be an interesting. It's going to be like how the New York Times has their book list, and then they also have their digital sales list, and they're, if you look
way
at them,
different.
They're so different. Because what people are actually buying, which you can actually see tracking of...
It's 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, you're seeing a lot more genre. So we're going to see a lot more pop and stuff in the Twitter one, but I think you're also going to see a lot more indie stuff.
Because
those are where a lot of the musicians use...
It's an interesting...
What's that girl band last year that blew up?
Haim, and then Haim. Disappeared.
That's Haim. A perfect example of what the... social media, online community can do for a band. Because that band
and it'll be,
had no fucking marketing. And it's one of the biggest bands in the
world.
And it'll be very, and I think what'll be interesting about it is I think it'll be more, we'll see a lot more flash of the pans because they're not, these are not bands that are going to be getting
a lot more one-hit
played
wonders.
On radio.
What's wrong with that?
Was one-hit
wonders
wrong with
made
that.
Great music.
Yeah, didn't you talk, about someone last week, right? About some girl that, who was on the First Kiss video. Her song's number one right now.
So I'm interested in this. I think this is going to
be interesting.
Yeah.
To follow, to see.
It would be better if Billboard had their own like social. If they weren't just using Twitter's thing to get
analytics.
Their, to get that. But I mean,
we'll
Billboard's
see.
Not a tech company. They're right?
They're already.
It would be helpful if Twitter once got analytics on.
Yeah, the they're already pretty antiquated by going to Twitter. So.
Oh yeah.
All right.
That's true.
Who's a fan of Parks and Rec TV show?
Who isn't?
Who isn't?
All right. So,
funny fucker.
We all know that Wilco's Jeff Tweedy will appear on the season finale, but also he'll be joined by Yo La Tengo, the Decemberists, and Genuine.
Oh, wow.
I'm a big Decemberists fan.
Oh, because they're doing
the
community concert.
Correct.
That they've been going to all the
Correct.
Time.
So I thought you were going to announce a Mouse Rat LP or something. That's what I was hoping for.
No, this is more music acts to...
Or
go to the season finale.
Or a Duke Silver album would have been awesome as well.
A Duke Silver jazz album would be amazing.
Okay, so Andy came back from London, but he... Does he have a job yet, or is he still...
He's working still for the Parks Department.
Yeah.
I thought he was back to not having a job.
No,
I know
sure.
He had that job, and then he left that job. I know that job was
that
really...
Job.
I have to go film Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I love how they notice that. He lost some weight. They randomly mentioned that. I wish they would have done a spinoff with him and Peter Serafin when it's over in London. It would
have
been so good.
Like, some web episodes? That would have been great.
That would have been cool. And my last bit of music news for you Bjork fans.
Is there?
It's like Gwen made music news today.
If you're going to the Tribeca Film Festival, you will get to see Bjork's concert film, Biophilia. When was the last time
Bjork? That sounds like a fucking nightmare.
I haven't heard anything bad from Bjork. Just because she goes away doesn't mean that she isn't still quality, though.
Yeah.
You guys can't name me a bad song.
I don't like Bjork.
I can't name you a song.
She might have had a crazy fucking...
What about Shmeow?
Still I think funny. Meow.
Still funny shit.
What about,
I don't care what you say.
What about meow meow?
That
about,
little crazy bitch is about, awesome. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. That was quality song for when you needed to listen to it.
When do you need to listen to it? Yeah, tell me. When do you need to listen to
it?
So the Bjork, you know, I think her concert film will be pretty decent. And it was recorded in London at Alexandria.
You know what? I am obsessed with those really beautiful high-def concert films.
Yeah, me too.
Those are just... I don't want to have any interviews. I don't want them to stop in the middle to talk about their feelings or anything.
Yeah,
I'm like, just fucking give me a show.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what this is. And I'm pretty sure it'll sound amazing, so... Bjork fans, that is music news for our 31st week in this podcast. We'll move on to video game news with...
Gwen Reyes! This is me. I'm playing with my imaginary consoles. This is how it works, guys. Is that now?
Yes. The over 50 demographic.
That's how you watch a card win. What are you copying?
Whoa. Motherfucker.
Well, I think I'm gonna lead with Oculus news because we've been kind of talking about them for the last few weeks. And then this week... Facebook announced that they are buying Oculus for $2 billion.
Ridiculous.
Billion.
$2 billion. Well, I think it's in $2 billion in fake Facebook money. So
it's
not real money.
Hold on. It's like $300 million in cash and like the rest in stock.
Yeah, so it's like not even
$2
billion
faces.
It's like...
$300 million in cash, rest in stock.
What about faces over here?
But I find it incredibly interesting about this whole situation. NPR has been doing all week a segment on the tech world, like all the different types of people in it as it's evolving. And we're getting very close to having our own tech bust very soon.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be happening in the next year or so because of bullshit purchases like this and Snapchat of things that are like these 21-year-olds that come in and make something and you're
like... Well, Snapchat wasn't sold. Like, he never gave
it. Yeah, you're right. He never sold.
The guy makes money.
He's ridiculous.
Tumblr is the one I was
He's ridiculous.
Of.
He should have sold to Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm like, no one's...
He's still making
going.
Money.
No one's going to pay $5 billion.
But, I mean, what are they making money on? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't Snapchat. I'm not...
There's no ads on that.
I don't do the Snapchat.
It's all free.
I don't want people sending me dick pics.
That's
if
Snapchat.
They burn or they don't.
Or do you.
I just sent you one.
I Snapchat.
Well, Oculus.
Really?
Oculus is virtual reality, so now you can think
it's
that
trending
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yeah, guys, your thumbs up will be like.
Yeah, get ready to go into people's actual pictures on Facebook and like you're like, what the fuck?
So I find it just really interesting. I also just find it really interesting that the creator of Oculus, this is like what his second or third attempt at it, like they're gonna be funding his like third, that he's only 21 years old. And my mind can't wrap
it. The guy that created Oculus?
Oh, yeah.
21.
Oh, wow.
He's been doing it since he was 17. And I was like, I haven't done anything with my life. Like, I hear these kids and I'm like, I haven't done shit with my life. But in more positive news, I just saw that there's going to be a new Alien video game that's coming out.
Oh,
that
totally
looks awesome.
Awesome. Hopefully it's supposed to be good because the last Alien games have not been really
good
at all. Yeah.
Is this the one with Riley's daughter? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool too because I always...
Ripley's
daughter. I really do like when the games follow girls rather
like real Ripley's daughter or Ripley reincarnated Ripley? I'm confused.
it's a quasi-sequel with Ripley's daughter.
Quasi.
Yeah, I think in this world that Alien Resurrection may not have happened.
Lord,
that was so awesome, though.
I do like that movie. So, so that'll be out on October 7th, and that's going to be available on all
just in
consoles.
Time for Halloween.
So that should be fun. It'll be available on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. So you'll be able to get it on...
I'm a strict PC gamer, so...
No, you're not. I was like, wait, no, you're not.
I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit.
It's called Alien Isolation. Also, another really cool thing that I was seeing was that Xbox is... So, Xbox is... We all established that we don't think Xbox is going to make it very long. Right.
I'll still play FIFA on the motherfucker.
What do you mean? Xbox not going to make it very long?
Why, they're becoming a multi-billion-dollar
company.
They're doing platform. Other stuff. And so one of the things they're getting into now is they're trying to tap into a parent's desires to watch what their kids are watching and see what they're doing. So they're actually creating more parent spyware.
Jesus Christ.
Parents to be able to log in and see what their kids are up to. So I found that to be kind of
Who cool. gives a shit what they're watching?
Well, you know.
As long as it's not Salo before 13, we're all good. Right?
I don't know.
Right?
Am I right? Wouldn't you rather know that your kids are playing a video game than watching Salo?
Not really. It's like, this could happen if you don't act right.
I just hope Salo the video game comes out sooner than later.
That would be an amazing Oculus Salo video game virtual reality experience.
Wouldn't it? Oh.
120 Days of Sodom.
What would be the word? Like, it's all the level, like all the layers of that film.
The circle, of death, the circle of
like then just sitting. And you get to be a duke in that. Oh, see, the whole thing is that you're just sitting and just doing horrible shit to people.
Oh my!
We need to get a Kickstarter on the sale.
On the sale of the video game.
It's an indie game,
and it's an online platform. No, wait. This is for another podcast. We're going to do this. We're going to come up with video games.
So it's like a Lemony Wings game, but...
It's going to be better than that. Yeah. We'll come up with
more expansive.
What else?
Another one. This is not a video game, but sad nevertheless because, you know, speaking of Dungeons & Dragons, because it wasn't a video
game. Did Scott Wolf die?
Scott Wolf died. No, Scott Wolf did not die.
The dragon died.
The dragon did not die. The dragon's immortal.
The dungeon fell down.
David A. Trampier, who was one of the original creators of the early set of Dungeons & Dragons, passed away this week.
Well, that's what we're making fun of the movie. That's legit D&D.
Did he create
that's
the 20-sided dice? Isn't that... His kind of thing.
It is sad.
Yeah, that so is that was sad. Kind of sad. So that's a, you know, to end it on a really... We could go back to the main bitch.
Small video game things.
So did somebody cast, like, a level 5 spell charm on him to come back?
Yeah, revival spell? Revival spell. Let me look at my Dungeon Master rules real fast.
Roll your 20-sided dice already. Pretty sweet.
Well, I don't think anybody speaks that specifically about their die. It's a die, not a die.
So that's video game
news. It's a die, die.
Adam, what do you have?
Oh, I couple of things. Flappy Bird's creator is mad that everyone's making money off of his idea, so he's coming back with a new and improved Flappy Birds. So get ready.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
No.
He was like, yeah, he couldn't handle making $50,000 a day or whatever the hell it was. It was ridiculous.
His problems are so hard.
Yeah. And then other bit of news, PlayStation announced that their first TV series is going to be an adaptation of Brian Michael Bendis' comic Powers, which had a pilot at FX, now PlayStation's getting into the TV making.
I'm excited about that because they announced that like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago that they were going to start doing their own original content, and I was like, oh, that's going to be a fucking game changer.
So we'll see. I really like Powers. We'll see who they get. Jason Patrick was cast in the pilot on FX, so he would actually be a good choice to track down since he hasn't really done anything past that.
Jason Patrick?
Yeah.
All right.
Wasn't he in Insidious?
Oh!
Lost Boys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Speed 2 Cruise Control?
Yeah.
That Jason Patrick?
That one, exactly.
So, Adam, what news do you have?
You want me to go do film news now? No one do film news last, usually?
Yeah, don't we do film news?
Do you want to do film news last?
Yeah, always, right?
That's fine.
You want to do TV news? Why don't you do that?
TV news. TV.
On the television.
I'm on the TV.
It's just TV. Hello, well.
Oh my god, it feels like Ringo's here with us.
Oh my god.
What?
So, this past week, Walking Dead finally confirmed that their spinoff series is going to happen, and they've brought on a producer from Sons of Anarchy, David Erickson, to co-write and executive produce it.
Nice.
He's so good.
That's making me think it might be. Maybe it's the guys that
the biker gang.
If I'm correct, I think that he did the second season of Sons of Anarchy, which was the best.
And Rob Perlman's gonna be a zombie.
And,
I'm all for that.
They said, you know, it's gonna be a companion series, and they said it's gonna be tentatively in a completely different location. So it's sort of in the universe, but not. Where
it's
gotta
be those guys, that group, that hoarding group.
That's what I was thinking, yeah, the ones that are with...
Banana?
Which one was the producer of that?
Boat. The producer is David Erickson.
Okay.
And they also, Kirkman and Gale Ann Hurd are going to be moving their focus to that companion series away from the when that happens.
I explain that again. They're going to focus on it?
Right, so Robert Kirkman has been doing a lot of writing for The Walking Dead, and he's executive producer on both, but he's going to turn his writing to focus just on the companion series.
But he has a couple other shows.
And Gale Ann Hurd, who's also an executive producer, who's no longer... She produces
everything now.
Wasn't she like the supervisor producer of the second season?
Possibly.
Before Scott Gimple took over. All right, so she's going to focus on the companion series as well. So get excited. It's coming together, and Gwen's...
Are we happy with Walking Dead, by the way?
I am really happy about that.
I'm excited about it. I like the change of pace was great, I thought.
Because he also did Low Winter Sun. So now I'm kind of like...
Oh. I really like Low Winter Sun. It was a slow bleeder.
I want Rubicon to come back.
I miss Rubicon.
Grey's Anatomy fans get excited.
No thanks.
Isaiah Washington, who had left the show a while back, it's coming back.
He was the best one, like chocolate.
For Sandra Oh's goodbye episode at the end of the season. She's leaving at the end of the season, finally, from the show.
How many seasons are
there? Like 25. Season 10 right now.
This is the time.
I know. It's crazy.
I broke up with that show. I feel so good about it.
Me too.
I broke up with it a long time ago.
Yep,
I haven't looked back.
But
there's also the announcement on if we do have any Grey's Anatomy fans listening.
Not many,
two other characters are also leaving.
Yeah.
The guy that played Smash on Friday Night Lights.
Because I have no idea who's
Cassius something.
Who's on Grey's Anatomy?
Isn't it time to end that
Cassius
show?
Woods, something like that. He's leaving. The two actors that are leaving were both promoted to series regulars this year, but they've had such a hard time kind of weaving in storylines, especially now that they knew going in that Sandra Oh was leaving to be able to bring. So they're streamlining, cutting out, getting rid of a lot of people.
I pretty much stopped watching when Knight was killed off.
Yeah,
I didn't. I watched the first two episodes and realized that.
That was
the first two seasons were bonkers.
They were
so
terrible,
good.
Terrible,
yeah.
Terrible.
Denny?
I still can't look at Jeffrey Dean Morgan
Well, he dies in every
but
show.
Then he dies before, yeah.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have died in that damn Miami
Night
show. But that got canceled.
Don't ruin it for people.
Whoa.
But, then Sharknado has finally got a release. Sharknado 2, the second one. they released their first poster this week. And also
worst title ever.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was because of a Twitter contest.
Yeah. That's
fans true. Voted. It should have been called After Sharks.
Did anybody actually, like that movie?
Not
ironically love it.
No, nobody really thought it was a genuinely quality film.
It was great.
It was amazing.
Oh, fucking flying shark was pretty cool in a...
Yeah.
Fuck y'all.
How do we get the shark? I always was wondering, how the shark's going to get here next?
The writer of that film is...
Oh, look, there's a manhole. Oh, no, there's a manhole.
The writer of that film is a film critic.
There's fresh water over there. So he made billions of dollars, what you're saying.
So they set the release date, July 30th. So let's get excited.
Sweet.
And then for George Lopez fans. Yeah.
I like his new show, though.
No one else. The ratings are bad, so they're not going to do a pickup past the initial 10.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to do the same deal that Charlie Sheen did with Anger Management, which would be 90, which is a huge commitment for a show that's just meddling.
Yeah, it's not. It's a weird concept, but I like George Lopez. I've liked his shows. I think he also does a really good job of bringing in kind of like how Bill Cosby showed. Well off black families that wasn't like a weird thing. It wasn't like we're going to talk about where they got all this money.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about this one where it was like he was a well off Mexican American and that's not, they're not represented very much on television.
On Latino USA.
But so many people didn't give it as care as much as I did, so they didn't watch the show.
Exactly. So I don't know. I can't believe, my next bit of news, I can't believe this is still on the air, but Power Rangers Super Mega Force is debuting a new ranger, the Silver Ranger.
Didn't they just do a reboot?
Named Orion.
Is Dr. Tommy going to be him?
I really thought you were going to say Oreo.
Dr. Oreo. Really yeah.
Oreo.
So yeah, for some reason, yeah.
Is it Dr. Tommy coming back?
I'm sure he's a teacher, whatever he is. Yeah, he's never going to leave that show because he's getting way too much.
He's
it's like Gordon on Sesame Street. Like, what else does he have going on for him?
Yeah. Poor Gordon.
He's made so much money off of being the Green Power Ranger, though. It's ridiculous.
In other news, Showtime has ordered a new series from Morgan Spurlock called Seven Deadly Sins.
Hooray, Morgan Spurlock.
We love Morgan.
Which examines, the darker side of humanity, and it premieres...
Is it going to be a documentary or is it a narrative?
It's a documentary series.
Can't Morgan just do a narrative? I want to see him do a narrative.
He's working a feature.
He said,
narrative,
yeah.
So.
And that's going to premiere on June 17th at 11 p.m. on Showtime.
And there's still, speaking of Showtime, there's still no word if they're going to recast Happy-ish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Well,
A Penny Dreadful premiere soon. If you like Ava Green as a crazy bitch, hold on to your hats.
Get excited. She's playing
crazy
she's good
bitch
at.
With witchcraft.
I want to see her not be a witch in a movie. That's...
I don't think she can. Well, she was in the one James Bond movie.
Yeah.
She wasn't. She was like the sad thing that made him all dark and shit.
But she was a little crazy. She's a little. She had the crazy eyes.
She's always had the crazy eyes.
Kelly Brook has been announced, added to the cast of the pilot One Big Happy, starring Elisha Cuthbert and Nick Zano.
That sounds like somebody who took a really big shit and you were like, One Big Happy.
Well,
is that the Nick Zano sitcom that Channing Tatum is producing?
I don't know,
friends.
But it's so the premise of the show, let me just go ahead and tell you this.
Zano's my best friend.
Lizzie, played by Elisha Cuthbert, is a lesbian who's best friends with Luke, Nick Zano, who have lived together since after high school.
So it's not the one that was based on his
after life. High school and has decided they decided to
have
a kid. And she gets pregnant just when Nick Zano finds Prudence, played by Kelly Brook, a British fine lady who is about to be deported and he decides to marry her. And so they're just one big happy family. But without the family.
But is there going to be like a
without
weird thing
family.
Where they're going to decide that her that the girl's character is no longer a lesbian and she's going to fall
in love with
Zano?
And... Yeah. It's going to question everything.
So many white people.
That's yeah, so
people. It's... What is this on CBS?
I think it's, CBS or NBC.
It sounds like a CBS show.
One of those. And then in American Horror Story news.
Yes.
At Paley Fest, it was announced that Michael Chiklis will be joining the cast of the new season titled American Horror Story
Freak Show.
So Vic Mackey is going to
guys
be
guys are
going awesome.
To I'm hoping this is a total remake of Freaks.
Yeah,
that would be
amazing.
Basically, it's our Carnival, basically, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's a Freaks and Carnival meshed together.
They
that'd be awesome.
Because didn't in the new normal, wasn't there like a Freaks reference where they
Google
were like, we accept
you. Yeah.
So I think that Ryan Murphy
I'm Wolf of Wall Street did it too.
Yeah.
More and more details are coming out about the new season, but yeah, it's going to be
so
based in Florida, and a lot of the characters, Jessica Lange, Kathy Bates will be back.
That's where all the weird people come in.
So excited.
Get excited.
I hope there's no elephants in it, because when they use the animals, that makes me sad.
Oh.
They die.
True.
Everything dies.
But, Ryan Murphy doesn't like death. Yeah. And then we hit that time in the TV season where things are starting to get canceled.
I
don't
want to talk about it.
Cancellation.
There's a few. Mind Games, Christian Slater's new show already got canceled after just
three
episodes.
I love that they were like lowest rated show.
I think it was actually five episodes. They showed five.
They show, well.
Yeah.
They're going to show them. Oh, did they shelve the rest of them?
They'll probably
burn
them off in the summer.
Because they're bringing in reruns of
Resurrection,
which I do really
which I
like.
Actually enjoy.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland will not be picked up.
Officially got the word, so.
So the season finale was actually the series finale for that.
Mm. That'll be next Thursday. And I'm sad about it because I really like that show. Although I got into Once Upon a Time watching that show, and then I watched real Once Upon a Time, and I could not go back to watching Once Upon a Time in Wonderland because I was like, it's not as good.
Yeah.
Special. And that was the problem. It was meant to be a bridge series between the winter and the... spring premiere of Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
And they were like, just do it. Just throw it out there. See what happens.
Yeah.
And it was a bomb because it didn't look good. They didn't have enough time. Yeah. Same problem that they're having with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Same problem they're having with Sleepy Hollow, that they're making these shows that look, they're supposed to look like big movies, and they don't realize
they don't
that
have the budget to make,
and they don't have the time. It takes like a month to make one episode of a show, but there's not enough months to hit their series run.
Exactly. So that's TV news.
Excellent TV news week. Gotti.
Well, let's start. This is a movie, so I'm starting there, but
what?
I think it's going to cause us all to fight.
It's a movie.
You're taking a movie thing away from me?
Yeah, I think so. Batman vs. Superman is now going to be set against Captain America 3.
No, I thought it wasn't.
They decided to move it. Okay.
We talked about this last week.
That's why I'm just fucking up. Hey, Brett Ratner's producing.
Brett Ratner's producing that.
That's so funny, though, because when I made that announcement like last week or the week before about that, I was like, oh, you weren't here, that's why. And
see, this is all new to me.
But it was so funny. I will not speak about this film, as we all know. But I will bring up the fact that they fucking don't believe in it and shelved it.
There you go. Boom.
Well, then shelve
it.
I'll bring it up every week.
Yeah.
From now on.
Boom.
Speaking of Captain America, Mr. Captain America and Sebastian Stan, who is
the Winter Soldier.
Assholes.
And Jackson on Once Upon a Time.
Bucky Barnes.
They, you know, they ring in the New York Stock Exchange, like any good Captain America fucking should. So there you go on that news. The Bill Finger Award for the first time ever, because the Bill Finger Award,
the Pull My Finger
Award,
has
been giving away for a couple decades now. They usually do like a posthumous award for someone who's passed.
Yeah.
And then a living person. This year they did two living people. Bill Mantello and Jack Mendelsohn, and so it's kind of a big year for them. So look for that in the news stories.
Well,
Steve Niles, 30 Days and 30 Nights,
30 Days of Night,
30 Days of Nights,
and Damian Worms. They have the October Faction coming out in October. Obviously, it's going to be a Halloween type theme, but they want to do it as a monthly. And it follows a 70s monster hunter who's kind of grown up and has a family now in modern time. Cool. And is reacting to having to hide from his former enemies because now he teaches about monsters and mythology as a teacher. But he also has to deal with all these crazy monsters coming back to now kill him now that they know who he is. And it'll keep going every month. And it's just cool because Steve Niles is one of the more epic kind of bloody fuckers when it comes to writing, so really excited for that. Really interesting kind of weird news. JFK Presidential Library is re-releasing new drawings, 10 of them, from in 1963. DC Comics came to the White House, and JFK wanted to do a series where Superman and, you know, all the DC heroes, Batman, they would get into physical fitness and help kids, like, lift weights and hate on black people. And so they moved on and did the series. But they, after the assassination, it was about 8 months, they held off. LBJ, when he was president, released the series for a brief time, but not all of it. So this will be the first time that this series of paintings has been done. And it's JFK with Superman.
Very cool, sir.
For collectors, it's a huge, iconic time, and they're thinking they're going to start selling off those comics. So, Superman collectors is a big deal. Nick Cage coming to town. The April 6th debut of Robot Chicken DC Comics Special 2 is happening.
Ooh.
So, there you go.
Shit.
The sequel.
It's Villains in Paradise.
I want to go there.
Exactly.
Sounds cool.
The villains are way cooler than everybody else anyway.
So you guys know that TED Talks have gone into TED Teen Talks now, right?
Okay. I don't know if Brian knows about that because he might try to cast adults in those roles.
That's from two fucking segments ago. One. So Marvel is doing a full speaker series to the TED Teen Talk.
Speaker.
Series
Teen Talk.
To get the new crop of teens into
what does TED
Marvel
stand for, Gotti?
Really? What does it stand for, Adam?
I don't know.
No one knows.
I thought it was named after Ted.
Who is
Together
Ted?
Everyone develops.
Is Ted the bear?
Yeah. Or it's Ted Mosby.
It's gotta be Mosby.
Technology, education.
It's not Ted Turner. Could it be? Who knows? Google it, fuckers.
Okay.
So the original, I know this isn't comic news or TV news, but the original creator of the Batman TV show with Adam West, Lorenzo Sepler Jr., has died. It's sad.
More
sad
dead
news.
People.
More dead people.
All our friends are dead.
And now for Noah news.
Before you go Noah news, TED actually stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. It's a nonprofit devoted to spreading ideas.
That's how you get
the bear. It should be the bear.
Technology, entertainment, and design. So, Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conversion to one.
The way you say it, it sounds so
amazing. Oh, yeah. Creepy.
Next time on TED Teen Talks.
So, the Noah also has a graphic novel that came out, like, literally... like 4 days before the movie was released.
Well, no, it was. I thought it was originally graphic. I don't know. Go ahead.
No. It was.
It was originally a book. You're right.
It was a book that Ari Handel and Aronofsky based it off.
Yeah.
But
the Bible.
They, like The Fountain, created a graphic novel to go with the film's release. What they did this time, though, was they went with a French. Artist and writer Nico Henriquen, I don't know how to say the dude's name, but looks cool from the stuff they had online. But because I didn't go get the graphic novel,
well, you haven't got it yet.
They released it in France a couple months ago to rave reviews, and then they have the fully translated version now released, and they say it's actually a lot more, you know, intel into what the hell they were created, because people are kind of confused by the movie anyway.
Yeah.
A bunch of AMC news. First, Comic Book Men has been renewed for a fourth season.
Wow, I can't believe that's still on.
So, kind of crazy.
It costs like nothing to make. And they actually, he's doing another podcast TV show with the other guy.
Anytime Kevin Smith can stay busy, it's a good thing.
Is it? He has his new movie.
I think so.
Yeah, because if he's staying busy doing TV shows and other bullshit, you won't be making horrible movies.
There you go.
Horrible movies.
The upcoming
movies have not been good.
Yes.
Red State was awesome.
Red State was a different thing, though. Red State was kind of like him trying to do something.
It was good.
When he's not trying to do stuff, it can be bad.
Oh, man.
No comment.
That movie made my heart sad.
So, AMC also has a new upcoming show, Turn.
Yes.
And they are
based
going...
on Washington Spies.
They are doing a free online comic to go with the show. It'll also splinter off like the previous ones have, but it's being hyped up as really cool.
I didn't like the pilot for that show, but Adam told me last week that I have to be patient with
him. I love that kid.
Yeah. Well, Jamie Bell.
Jamie Bell's badass.
My problem with it is I couldn't tell. I mean, I guess it's the point they're spies, but I was like, I can't tell who's British and who's...
We'll see. Yeah,
American.
They're all British.
Yeah, I know they're all British, but I'm like,
Hello?
They're supposed to be the rebels, and I'm like, I don't understand.
Maybe the Bob Crane will show up.
A Paul Revere.
So that is all the comic news I have today.
Good comic news.
Wow.
Especially the first bit of news.
Lots of TV and movie comic
this
news.
Just in, guys.
I have two more down the list.
I have one small thing. I guess for Free Comic Book Day, Marvel will be releasing, like, Original Sin number 0, which is like a... you know, basically setting up their big summer event called Original Sin, which is about the killing of a Watcher. So, yeah.
Who watches the Watchmen?
The Watchmen?
The Watchmen are different than the Watchers.
Yeah, the Watchers.
The Watchers.
Watchers.
Well,
Watchers are
the Marvel Universe.
I'm sorry, guys. So glad that
please
I can be here for this.
Me, the Watchmen are DC, and the Watchers are Marvel.
Thank you, Alan Moore.
Sweet prediction.
Yeah. I love you guys.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Free comic book days in May.
Oh.
Yes.
The Spider-Verse is coming as well in comic book form. But they don't have a villain, so hold up for it.
That was 3 years ago, Gotti.
I know.
And now we are here with Adam with film news.
Film news, eh? Breaking, the Filmmakers of Fast and Furious 7 have decided to CGI in Paul Walker to finish the film. And it's we'll see what it looks like, but if it looks anything like Tron Legacy, within CGIing Jeff Bridges.
But he wasn't super, super bad in it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like the worst thing that could have possibly
been. It looked really retarded.
It looks really
As young
not,
Flint?
As long as it doesn't look like The Rock and Scorpion King, we should probably be fine, but we'll see.
Well, technology's come a long way since then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I know his brother's going to be doing some of the stand-in stuff, so.
It's probably just putting a face on a stand-in.
And then they also came out, the police also came out and said that it was because they were going way too fast is what killed Paul Walker. Okay. There was contention on whether or not he really was going 1,000 miles per hour or not.
90.
Yeah.
It was like 94.
He got past 88 miles an hour? Wow. He
didn't go through time.
Are you sure he didn't go back in time?
Maybe he did. Maybe he's still alive.
He saw some serious shit.
But yeah, they were thinking
he's
of
hanging
like,
out with the doc. He's hanging out with the half-human doctor.
Basically because of the Social Network, what they did with Armie Hammer made them think that they could possibly...
But there was only one!
But that was what I was just thinking about, is the fact that they were able to do that.
Yeah, you couldn't tell at all.
Yeah. So then, in other news, Mel Gibson is in talks to star in a movie called Bloodfather, which is like a Taken-style action thriller, hopefully reviving his career. It's from the director of Mezzarine, which starred, Vincent Cassell, and it was a really good
movie.
Really good.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy in the new Expendables, right?
Possibly. But yeah. And this movie is also scripted by the writer of The Town, Peter Craig, so...
I'm down. This sounds awesome.
It sounds awesome.
I like Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson can rein it in a little, but you know.
The Town, the screenplay.
I really liked that one Mel Gibson movie that he did where he was trying to avenge his daughter's
Patient?
Murder. Dark Watch or Dark of the Night or something like that.
Edge of Night?
Ransom.
Was it Edge of Night?
Edge of Darkness or Edge of Night?
Edge of Darkness.
Ransom.
Oh, yeah.
Ransom.
Sorry, Adam.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Hey, Riggs.
Another news, the final role, lead role in Terminator Genesis was cast, and it was Dayo Okuniyi.
Dayo.
Him and John Boyega were both up for this role and also a role in Star Wars. So it looks like John Boyega is most likely going to be the one confirmed for Star Wars.
Pretty sweet.
So, yeah,
Smarter choice.
And Boyega, he's playing the son of from the movies where he, you know... Kill himself to save the
little boy.
Was he in the butler? Was he the one?
Cyberdyne.
He was in Hunger Games.
Dale was. Yes.
Oh, he played Thresh.
He was the big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thresh. And also in a. He's been in a lot of like indie films too.
Which is the one that was in? There's the one that was in the butler, and he's got a weird name.
It's not him.
It's not Forrest Whitaker.
But yeah, he's playing Danny Dyson in this, the son of Miles Dyson, who was in Terminator 2. Should be good to know. The full cast, we have him as Danny Dyson. We have Sir Connor, played by Emily Clark. John Connor, played by Jason Clark. And Jay Courtney, playing Kyle Reese.
I'm really upset with Emilia Clarke because she said a thing like on Access Hollywood or something recently that she's got to lose like 15 pounds to play this role. And
she's
getting
kind of fat.
Fuck you. I just envision throwing this table across the room.
It's directed by Alan Taylor, who has done lots of episodes of
Game of Thrones
and also Thor 2.
Cool, man.
So I have potential faith.
Pretty good.
I'm so mad. I'm like, I'm mad for womankind here.
Other news, Don Coscarelli just released a teaser for Phantasm 5, which he secretly made in the last 2 years.
I'm excited for Phantasm 5.
This sequel has been around. The series has been around for like 30 something years.
Angus Scrimm is like 80.
Angus Scrimm is in it. He's reprising his role as the tall man.
Wait, is Phantasm the little kid in the first one?
It's with the tall, creepy man with the silver.
But there's a little kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's that little kid?
He's a bald one.
That little kid's annoying.
Yeah,
that's it.
Secret.
Thank you.
Thanks,
but
guys.
Yeah, so part five.
That guy's a noob.
So part five is going to be called Phantasm Ravager, and I guess we'll see how that turns out. Bubba Hotep was pretty good. You know, his last effort. So
nice.
You might be able to see him in Texas.
I think we'll do part two to Bubba Hotep too. They've been talking about it.
I'm not
going to do it.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Why not, Brian?
They can't get Bruce or Corse Kelly to do it.
Joe Mangliano informally announced that the sequel is a go for Magic Mike. And now they officially announced a director, Greg Jacobs, who's done only, like, you know, some... he did Steven Spielberg's TV show, The Nick. He helped, like, AD it and stuff. And was on several other Soderbergh shoots. So he is taking over for Soderbergh on this series. And right now, it's tentatively titled Magic Mike XXL.
XXL.
So, yes.
Which I just think is such a parody name. I'm like, is that...
Well, you know, I guess in Channing Tatum said it was going to be basically like a road trip movie.
Soderbergh is on the road, y'all.
Soderbergh's directing it?
No, nope. He's not.
Oh,
remember, because he's retired from directing main films, but he's still directing a ton of TV and ton of plays and stuff. Yeah,
maybe there'll be more dancing.
It'll probably make a couple $100 million for Channing Tatum. No, Matthew
McConaughey. I'm still loving that scene when he's in the movie and he's like, well, you want to see something different? And he's like, I'll just dance it off. And I'm like, is this a step-up movie? Good.
It pretty much was.
Yes.
All right, what else do you
then
got?
Then we got Peter Dinklage just got added to the cast of Pixels, which already has Adam Sandler, Kevin Hart, and Josh Gad attached. And it will follow...
And Kevin James, too, right?
Possibly.
Because that's needed.
Yeah.
Deal breaker.
The film's going to follow a bunch of video game experts who are hired by the government to help when 1980s video game characters start attacking New York City.
Pretty awesome.
So it sounds like a cool premise. But yeah, we'll see.
I like Peter Dinklage.
And that cast is great. I love Josh Gad and Peter Dinklage. So. Let's see. And also, Kevin Costner announced that he is going to be getting back into making movies, and he has lined up a potential four Western series.
Nice.
And he wants to do it to where he shoots them all at the same time and have them each come out like every like 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
So he'll have three movies opening up in 1 year. So we'll see. Open Range was the last movie he directed.
Hopefully.
And can he do Postman 2?
He can.
But he won't.
But where do you go for that? You know?
Hopefully in one
email?
Of those three movies, Kevin will come to Dallas.
When we lost email, the world went to shit.
I really liked... I'm happy that Kevin Costner's coming back, because I really enjoyed Draft Day. I mean, what it was, it's a male soap opera, but it's pretty... Three Days to Kill.
To Kill.
Yeah.
I like 3 Days to Kill more than Draft Day.
But I mean, it's good to have Kevin Costner back. Like, I'm happy
he's back in rare form.
He's good. He's quality.
He's got a big head.
He just bought Field of Dreams. Did you hear that? He purchased the field.
After my story, he heard.
Did he? Finally?
I
think so.
Yeah, he heard my story.
He heard your plea.
He did it. He bought it. Good for you.
Well, Disney announced that they're making a movie about magic.
The game?
About actual magic. And they're involving the Magic Castle in L.A. And they have a magician called Derek.
Real magic.
Yes. Real magic. On board to help with the consulting of it. It sounds interesting. The script is actually by, I guess, a guy who wrote Ezekiel Moss, which was supposed to be Philip Seymour Hoffman's next directorial effort. But it's basically going to tackle the history of magic's last 100 years as seen through the eyes of a single magician.
So it's not The Prestige?
So only 100 years. So 100 year long.
Or The
Illusionist.
David Bowie is great. It's Tesla.
But yeah, I guess the writer is actually in a hot streak right now because he actually also wrote Joe Hill's adaptation of Horns. And he also wrote a Dr. Seuss biopic that apparently Johnny Depp is going to top line. Yeah.
Oh,
damn you, Johnny Depp.
What's the next hot thing, guys? Johnny Depp doing magic.
And for
all his rings.
Yeah.
Where'd they go?
No, Johnny Depp is playing Dr. Seuss, not the magician.
Same difference. Come on.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Johnny Depp should not be.
So it's going to be like Secret Window, but
it'll be like when he did the Jay and Barney one, when he did Finding Neverland.
Yeah.
Such bullshit. Yeah.
He keeps finding scars from his name.
Jamberry.
And final Nicolas Cage news.
Hey, he's coming.
Left Behind has got an official release date, and it'll be in October. So all you Christian film fans.
Thank you, Kirk.
I got to be in this movie.
Get excited.
Maybe next segment we'll talk about it.
Is that film news? I think it's film news, unless anyone else has anything else.
No, it's a great teaser.
Good.
I like it.
All right.
Good.
That is our In the News, Volume 31.